Arizona homeowners, we're here with the two largest utility providers in the state of Arizona, APS and SRP, Mr. Jacob Tetlow, the Executive Vice President of Operations for APS, and Mr. Chris Hoffman, the Director of Transmission Operations. I like that title. I really like that title, Chris. I really do. Now, you are the man with the toggle switch joystick directing the juice every place it needs to go, right?
Yeah, the team is the one that does it.
Now, I want to talk about, we've talked a little bit about what happened in California in 2019, the horrible, miserable, mean summer of Arizona 2020. And then we've got the winter, Texas, February 2021.
Yeah, and Rosie, that's a great story we ought to talk about. But can I get one more plug in for some of the great, you talked about energy sources and where do we get our energy from?
Yes.
And we were talking about the benefits, and one of the best forms of energy is the energy you never had to make. That's the cleanest one, right? If you didn't have to make it, then that's going to be the cleanest one you ever got. And we're super excited at APS with what we call the Cool Rewards program. And it's really putting at scale the ability to interface with customers through their smart thermostats, whether it's an Ecobee or a Google Nest, whatever the thermostat, bring your own devices. Chris talked about at SRP. But now we have the ability to interface with those customers and give us a little bit of flexibility to adjust your temperature just a little bit over those peak hours you were talking about around supercooling. And we have over 40,000 customers now enrolled in that program.
That's awesome.
Last summer, we got over 40 megawatts of response. And you say, well, what's 40 megawatts? That's a small power plant. That is a small power plant that we didn't have to build.
Because 40,000 customers changed their thermostats.
That's right.
And began to learn the game of power consumption.
That's right. And so it's good for the environment because we didn't have to build another power plant. It's good for customers because they get to save money on the program. And it's good for the grid and the utility because we don't have to build that extra resource. And so it saves everybody money when we do things like that.
That is so awesome because I can't tell you the thousands of phone calls I've taken from homeowners that want to beat the man, and that's you two guys. They want to beat them. They want to get that power bill down to 7 cents a month, and they'll spend whatever it takes. They'll spend tens of thousands of dollars on new windows, new air conditioning. I'm just telling them, you are just burning money down a hole.
Send them to APS.com and have them get a smart thermostat.
You know, there's so much low-hanging fruit like this that y'all are making available. And both of your utilities in the trend of whole house energy audits that were rolled out 10, 15 years ago, when y'all were subsidizing those and encouraging people, learn where you're losing it. It can be a tube of caulk. It can solve a lot of your problems. A little weather stripping can go a long way. A little shade screen, a shade tree. You know, and y'all both had shade tree distribution programs.
That's right.
So, okay. So that is an excellent point that just the educated consumer with the right piece of equipment is a power generating plant we never have to build.
That's right.
And that is the cleanest
kilowatt. You can't beat that one.
You cannot beat that one. All right. Now, I want to move forward, because as I was talking about, October of last year, we were still hitting 100 degrees. And so I'm still thankful for APS and SRP for providing my electricity all the way past the season I should ever even need it. And I'm still have the thermostat set in the 70s, and it's having to work to get there. Now, I have a lot of family that live in Texas. And you can't believe the river of tears that I got from my relatives when that ice storm moved through Texas and froze. And I guess they're primarily, a great majority of their power generation must be natural gas, because it was the natural gas pipelines that were freezing, not feeding the generators. And it's my understanding the entire state of Texas is an isolated power island, in and of itself mostly. And that island was like one 40-watt light bulb away from completely shutting down, which could have been weeks or months. Tell me what Texas was battling, Chris.
Yeah, you know, under normal circumstances, you got your supply or your generation trying to meet the load, right? Our customers. And when that happens, everything's in balance. Well, what was ended up happening was you didn't see enough generation because the generator started tripping offline, but the load is not going away. So what that causes is the frequency of the grid, the 60 hertz, to start to decay. When that happens, you can have massive implications to damage to equipment, damage to generators. So the
now, see, that would keep me awake at night. If I was Chris Hoffman, that would keep me awake at night.
So the operators did the only option that they had, which was to shed load and stop that frequency decay to avoid long-term damage that could have taken months to repair.
And shed load, you mean shut down parts of the grid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, when you're the power plant generator button switcher and you have to shed load, all you can do is start telling people, okay, we're going to quit sending it down this line. How do you decide that?
You got to remember, Texas is completely different, right? You touched on that earlier, Rosie, with it being a standalone, and Jacob, you did as well, with it being a standalone grid. So there's no interconnections versus WEC, where we're at, the Western Electricity Coordinating Council. It's a formation of, 14 states plus some parts of Canada, as well as Mexico, northern Mexico. So we all share inner ties. We can assist each other at any point in time versus Texas, where it's a deregulated market. And they really don't have the massive interties with other states that Jacob touched on earlier, with sharing power plants, sharing energy from all over the place. So,
well, I told you I wouldn't go political, but I'm about ready to go political. I have a burning question for both of you. Am I crazy, or was the Arizona Corporation Commission just months ago, maybe a year ago, exploring the Texas energy distribution model as something we should adopt in Arizona? Am I dreaming that up?
No, I think that actually would be a true story. It's not new, though. I mean, deregulation's been around for a while, and it's been kicked around as, you know, market competitive. And deregulation comes with its challenges. And in Texas, you know, obviously this last winter was a good example where it didn't work and where it failed. I often think about deregulation as it's just a different form of regulation, right? You still have to have some regulation, but it's a different market design. And one of the benefits that APS and Arizona and SRP is, you know, we're a vertically integrated utility at APS. So we have the power plants, we have the transmission, the distribution. And so because you have ownership on all the different components to the puzzle, you have a much better ability to manage all those pieces to ensure that you have reliability for the long run. And in Texas, they don't have that. And they don't. And to, you know, Chris's point, they can't lean on the neighboring states if they need to either.
Well, I can't imagine that topic's going to come back up at the Arizona Corporation Commission anytime real soon.
Probably not. It'll be a few years.
Well, now, let me play a role of the Arizona Corporation Commission. Y'all go in front of them, and APS in particular, goes in front of them, and y'all, you know, you show them your numbers. A big complaint I heard from California residents was that one of the largest utility companies in the country, PG&E, just wasn't maintaining their infrastructure. How do you regulate that? As a privately owned company, how do you force them to keep their equipment so it won't start wildfires?
Yeah, and that's a big challenge. I mean, that's part of the partnership, though, between the utility and our regulator. That, you know, we strive and we do maintain top quartile reliability. We look at our reliability, we look at our system condition, and we have over 50 different programs designed to maintain that. We call it system health, if you will, the condition of that system, all that infrastructure, to make sure it's healthy. And so that does take real investment, and that's that partnership between the utility and our regulator to work together to make sure we're making the right investments. And frankly, I think there's probably some cases where PG&E took their eye off the ball a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of California residents that would agree with that.
Just trying to be nice.
from the headlines I've read, it seems like there would be a lot of consensus that was the case. How do they recover? I mean, they didn't. We're going way off course now, but didn't they have like a $31 billion claim for the fire damages that they caused in that Paradise fire? And then that pushed them to bankruptcy, didn't they?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So what happens when the largest utility company in your state now is going to the bankruptcy court?
And now they're spending billions of dollars trying to catch up on that infrastructure. So now you go through a bankruptcy and somebody's going to pay for that. And then you have to add on all the costs to fix the system. So that's not going to make – and electricity is already very expensive in California, right? Talk to people that are moving from California to Arizona. One of the benefits and one of the reasons people move here is because we have inexpensive, reliable, safe electricity in Arizona.
And what's the history of APS?
1886. We were around before this was a state. And I'm pretty proud of that.
And SRP.
100 years.
Okay. I mean, so y'all been at it for a while. Some of your infrastructure could be aging.
That is right. And he's a guy that understands all that. When you're working on 70-year-old equipment, in some cases, you know, that has its unique challenges. Doesn't mean it's bad, but it means you better know what condition it's in.
Yeah, I mean, when they build the Roosevelt Dam, they give it a good long life expectancy, right, Chris?
Yep.
Oh, man. So we're generating power from multiple sources. We're sending it out into the arena of consumers through a infrastructure that we're regularly maintaining. And between the two of you, your two utilities, y'all have been doing it for over 100 years. And I can tell you, I've been here,
about half of that?
half that time. And I really cannot remember, and I've lived in both districts, SRP and APS, I can't remember the last time I had to suffer an outage that wasn't due to some traffic guy hitting a transformer.
That's right. Car hits a pole, Mylar balloon gets into a conductor, something like that. Yep.
Yeah, I did see a hawk on the transformer in my backyard spread his wings. He was stretching. Oh, and man, that was the last stretch he ever made. Poor little guy. But on that topic in particular, we're providing the safe power. We have a history of doing it for a long time. What does the future look like? What is there another power plant on the drawing board, dream board, anywhere? And what would it be? Are we going to do that with solar and wind?
I'll take a stab at that. I think the future's got all kinds of exciting opportunities. You know, today we're running natural gas, we're running coal, we're running nuclear, we got solar, we got wind, we got hydro, SRP has hydro. And when you think about the future state, there's going to be hydrogen in there, and you can take an existing gas turbine, you can make some modifications to it, and you can put hydrogen in there, which has no carbon emissions. Now you got to make the hydrogen somewhere, so making hydrogen is a little bit tricky, and we're working on a lot of different ways to make hydrogen.
Well, if I could be dictator of the Arizona Corporation Commission, I would just say, you can't provide power for more than this number of people, and I'd allow for about a 2% increase every year, and that would just automatically build a governor for the rate of growth for the great state of Arizona, because I have been here long enough to remember when it was a really fun state at 2.5 million people. It's a great state at 7 million people, and you guys, your two utility companies, have done a great job keeping us comfortable in those 110, 115 degree days that we've seen in the past, and that many will tell you we're going to see very many more in the future. We're here with Jacob Tetlow, the Executive Vice President of Operations for APS, and Chris Hoffman, the Director of Transmission Operators for SRP. You know, it was just a couple weeks ago you heard Al McCoy sing on the Rosie on the House show. And now, Rosie on the House, we've got APS and SRP together in the same room talking about you, the Arizona homeowner, and your electricity.